With that being said, the judge ruled in favor of the state and denied our access into the case. And that's where we are today. So even though we've been involved since she was taken into custody, they're saying that we were not involved. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have the child place with you, basically, right? And before the break, we were talking to Tanya and Chris. They have a case in Alabama where they're, no, in Georgia, where they're trying to get their, I believe, nephew out of foster care placed with them. Tanya, still there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Pick up the story where you left off.
So we went to court in December, and the judge was asking the attorney for her witnesses or whoever she was going to bring forth. Once she said who we had, the state's attorney, the DCS attorney, filed a verbal motion to have our motion dismissed based on a form that should have been filed with the motion. Now, this motion was originally filed in 2020. It was heard and the judge ruled on it. In 2020, we went in June. It was supposed to be heard again. Now, all this time, this form hadn't been filed. Now, all of a sudden, they want to file a motion to have it dismissed because of this form. So our attorney was saying, one, they disagree with him filing a verbal motion because it didn't give them time to respond to that motion. But two, she did not have all the information because she was depending on what the state would give her. That's the only way she can get information on the case, since we were not parties to the case, is via the state, and the state didn't give her all the information. With that being said, the judge ruled in favor of the state and denied our access into the case, and that's where we are today. So even though we've been involved since she was taken into custody, they're saying that we were not involved. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have the child placed with you, basically, right?
We do not.
Okay. Have you appealed that judge's decision?
We appealed the first. Well, the second attorney appealed the first one. This one, I do not believe, has been appealed.
Okay, if time hasn't run out, you should talk to your attorney about appealing that, definitely. But there's some other things that I would probably advise you to talk to your attorney about, and that's number one, filing a complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services. The Department of Health and Human Services runs and creates regulations that all states must abide by in these CPS cases. And a hot area of, complaint and litigation right now is the placement of children with relatives. So many times I hear this just every week, every day, about relatives who can't get children placed with them. And there's a lot of reasons for that, in my humble opinion. But it's not what I believe the law is. And, CPS is adept at making excuses and using the law to keep children from relatives. One of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this subject is because I was raised by my grandmother, my grandparents. So, I have a soft spot in my heart for those relatives who are trying to get these kids or get kids to raise them, because their children, for whatever reason, aren't able to. So, filed a complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services. It's an administrative complaint. You can find it online. And consider filing a complaint with the Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Division in your area, because your civil rights may be, being violated. not only yours, but perhaps the child's. Let me ask you this, because we talked earlier this week when you called me at my office. What have you learned from this situation, and what would you want to tell relatives out there in the audience what to do if they're trying to get a child placed with them?
One, I would tell people, first and foremost, even though I feel that you should not have to when your relative is stepping up, the first thing I would tell them to do is to retain an attorney, someone to help them fight. The second thing I would tell them to do, which luckily my husband and I did, make sure you document every form of communication. If you speak with that social worker or whoever you speak with on the phone, follow it up with an email so you would have written documentation. Because I think that's what's going to help us in the long run. We will be able to show everything that we have done throughout the case to fight for my nephew. We even have where we would ask the social worker a question and she would, you know, respond back and say, I'm working on it, just be patient. But yet she would use time against us and say, well, since the child has been in custody for this long, it's best. Well, we have documentation showing what we have done from the onset of the case up to the current moment. So I would definitely tell people to retain an attorney, even if you feel like you don't need one. It's best to get one in the beginning versus at the end. To keep records of all phone conversations and fight not to. In our case, the foster parent was our supervisor. They were the ones that would supervise our visitations. Fight not to have that done, because then that leaves room for false allegations that you then have to go back and prove are not true. So that's what I've learned in this case, and I would say never give up. Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's very astute of you, the things that you mentioned, because it's things that I have told people, you know, over the years. And a lot of times people think that I'm being a bit alarmist by telling you, talk to an attorney, by telling you, keep track of everything, you know, write down everything, send your confirming emails. You know, this week a grandmother called me. And she's in the same position you're in, and she's trying to get her grandchildren placed with her. But here was her scenario. They contacted her at the very beginning to take the children. And she thought, without talking to anyone, that number one, if she took the children, that it would prevent the mother and father from getting the children back, or be a hurdle that the parents would have to jump in order to get the children back. Number one, that's a false assumption. Number two, she said that she was in the process of remodeling her house and couldn't take the children right then and there, but told the social worker she'd talk to her family and, you know, she'd get back to her in about a month. Well, unbeknownst to her, the social worker wrote in a report that the grandmother was not interested in taking care of the children. Now that's a bit different from what the grandmother said, right? Now, when the grandmother told the social worker, hey, I don't want to be an interference with the parents getting the children back, the social worker should have said, oh, you taking the children is not an interference with the parents getting the children back. You know, they're not, in this case, they don't have to be related. Well, that was never said. Now, you know, flash forward a few months, not even a year, but flash forward a few months, and this poor woman is trying to get her grandchildren out of foster care. She's learned that the foster parent wants to adopt the grandchildren, and thereby severing all familial relationships with the child. And now the social workers are giving her a hard time, and they are basically telling the judge, allegedly, that this grandmother, you know, is late to the game, and she didn't step up when she should have. And that's not that didn't happen at all. You know, a lot of people think that social workers in every situation are going to do what's fair and right. And that's not true. Now, is it ever true? Yeah, I imagine that it is. But I don't hear about those cases. You know, because social workers following the law, people don't need to call me. I hear about the cases that, you know, the social workers not telling the accurate truth or making false representations or working against them. That's what I hear about, right? And I hear a lot, right. And I get a lot of calls about that every day of the week. Listen, go ahead. That's what happened. What?
I was going to say that's what happened to us. Like in the beginning, the severity of the case or the allegations, which were never against my brother. However, we don't care whether the allegations were against my brother, the mom. We don't care about that. The only thing that we care about is my niece being placed with family. But we were never told the severity of the case. So the caseworker did admit that is based in this case, cases that are against the mom. The mom has other children in foster care.
Right.
Which has nothing to do with my brother, which has nothing to do with us. Those children are not related to us. Therefore, and they were taken away before my brother even got in the picture. So she admitted that she's basing it off of that.
Tanya, the problem is that, you know, a couple of times during your story, you told me what you feel, you know, your sense of justice. And on my YouTube channel, I have a video about what is justice. Listen, justice isn't what you think it is. And if you view these cases the way you think right and wrong should be done, you're probably going to be left out in the cold. Because real justice is different from what people think in their heart. Hey, Tanya and Chris, I want to thank you guys for calling in and thank you for sharing. We have to take our next break now, but call us back in about a month or two and let us know what happened. Would you please?
Yes, I will.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. This is The Secret, How to Fight CPS and Win. We'll be right back after.